We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Lord, bless them so that every part of their life would bring glory to your name. Everywhere they go and everywhere they do, people would see you and your love at work in them and through them, Lord. And Lord, meet every need in this place. Thank you, God, that all of our needs are met in you. You are our portion. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And let's clap our hands to the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm happy to be with you today. I'm with people in the room today. I'm very thankful for that. I'm always thankful for that. And I'm with you guys online through live stream, through podcast, through, I don't know, maybe somebody is putting this on Betamax and putting it out, height of technology. How Blockbuster Video, however you're getting this, I'm glad to be with you also. I pray that the Word of God would be a blessing to you today and make a difference. How many knows the Word of God makes a difference?
Yes!
Amen. We are in the second week of our sermon series. Say it with me, deal with the devil. Do you know about the one that we call the devil? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a lot of ugly, ugly things in the Bible. One of them's Lord of the Flies or Lord of Dung. We went over all those names last week. The devil can't be trusted. You agree? He's a pretty awful guy. So we asked you last week, would you ever make a deal with that guy, the devil? But many people unknowingly make a deal with the devil. The devil makes deals through words, through hearts, through minds, and through actions. And instead of a physical contract, the devil seeks a spiritual agreement. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" When we are in agreement with the devil, we have begun to walk with the devil. And then we have made a deal with the devil. Last week we told you the devil deals with pride. We told you that pride is choosing your self-will over God's will. Self-will, pride, leads to disobedience. And the Bible has a strong term for disobedience against God. Today we're going to reveal that the devil deals with rebellion. Can you say rebellion today?
Rebellion.
We know what disobedience is, right? Disobedience is the failure to follow through with the command of God. Disobedience is sin.
Yes.
Straightforward. Disobedience is absolutely sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23.
Yes.
None of us have ever obeyed God fully. Can we get an amen on that?
Yes.
Absolutely. None of us have ever obeyed God fully to the level of His glory. For this reason, we're all sinners. Rebellion is much worse than disobedience. Rebellion is disobedience on steroids. What is rebellion? Rebellion is a rejection of authority. It is a revolt against authority. Rebellion is a rejection and a revolt against authority. Do you see how rebellion is stronger than disobedience? If I am cooking a casserole, warning, you probably shouldn't eat that thing. But let's just pretend that, Tony, I'm cooking a casserole for everybody. And I get out the cookbook and try to follow the recipe. But maybe I overlook an ingredient. Anyone ever do that? Or maybe you get the amount wrong. Tablespoon versus teaspoon versus gallon. I get those mixed up all the time. Or maybe you set the oven to the wrong temperature. Or really good, like me, forget to actually turn the oven
on.
Done that? My gosh. If I have somehow differed from the command of the recipe in the cookbook, then I have disobeyed the recipe in the cookbook. Do you follow me on that?
Yeah.
All right. Rebellion is different from that. If I set out to cook that same casserole, Tria, but I look at the recipe, I pull it up and everything, I look at it, I read it, and then I decided, I'm going to do the opposite of everything Betty Crocker told me to do. Forget her. Who does she think she is anyway? And I do everything against that cookbook. In fact, I'm so angry, I pick up the cookbook, I rip out that recipe, I burn the cookbook, and I brag about it. That's not just disobeying. That is rebellion against the recipe. I am actually against the authority of the recipe, the cookbook, and its author. That is the picture of rebellion. Now just change cookbook to God's word, and you have how the devil deals with rebellion. The devil uses rebellion because it's exactly what he did. Scripture reveals in Revelation 12 that the devil caused a third of the stars, and the stars represent angels. He causes a third of the stars, a third of the angels, to fall from heaven and to rebel in a war against the God of heaven. That dude, the devil, convinces a third of the angelic beings of God to rebel against God. He wants us to do more than simply obey God, disobey God's commands. He desires for us to join him in his rebellion against God. See this all throughout Scripture. But let's go back to the very beginning. He wanted Adam and Eve to join the rebellion. But they heard the command of God, and they repented, and they began to offer sacrifices of repentance. Adam and Eve, they did disobey. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But when they heard the voice of God, they confessed their fault. They were disobedient, but they weren't in rebellion against God. Say amen if you understand.
Amen.
But the same cannot be said for their son, Cain. Let's talk about the rebellion of Cain. It is obvious in Scripture that Adam and Eve taught their children to give sacrifice to the Lord, the same Lord who had spared their life and forgiven them. So Adam and Eve, although they have disobeyed and been thrown out of the garden, they teach their children to honor the Lord in sacrifice. In Genesis 4, we see the two sons of Adam and Eve giving sacrifice. Let's read about it. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Everyone say angry.
Angry.
And his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," Cain replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands." Now, this story starts with Cain in disobedience. That's where it starts. His sacrificial offering was disobedient and not accepted. Like the earlier recipe analogy, Cain had the wrong ingredients. Yes. Abel brought lambs. Cain brought vegetables from his garden. He had the wrong ingredients. He had been disobedient to the request, to the command of God for sacrifices. Do you understand? Yes. Yeah. Now, there was still hope for Cain. Do you agree with that? Yes, there was still hope for Cain, even though he had been disobedient. God said this in verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain could have done what was right and been accepted and forgiven of disobedience. Man, wouldn't that change the rest of the Bible account if he would have just done what was right and be accepted of the Lord? We serve a God full of grace and love. Can I get an amen on that? Full of it. Full of grace. Full of love. And when we are disobedient, he still comes to us and offers redemption, restoration, and reconciliation. And if we do what is right, we will be accepted. If we do what is right, we will be accepted. This is our message to the world, by the way. The addict, the liar, the greedy, the murderer, the religious hypocrite, the thief, the adulterer, the prideful, the hateful, the lost and confused. There is a God who wants to accept you into his kingdom. God says, do what is right, and there is acceptance for you. And this is the gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his blood, there is acceptance for the disobedient. But the disobedient came. He heard the voice of God. And instead of surrendering to the authority, Cain rebelled against the authority. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, then what happens? Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. This is a very powerful verse in your Bible. This is one of those underlining, defining verses of what sin is. The sin of rebellion is a spooky thing. It's a scary thing. It's the very thing that horror movies are made of. It's like a predator monster. Anybody see a scary movie with a predator monster? Oh yeah. My goodness. Hollywood can dream up all kinds of scary monsters. Monsters that have more teeth inside their teeth. Monsters that can disappear and reappear. Monsters that if you touch them, you become a part of them. I mean, scary monsters. Scary, scary monsters. That's what sin is. Sin is like a predator monster that is where? Just outside your door. Yes. Lying in wait. It's crouching. Picture of a cat that is ready to pounce upon its prey. Before it strikes, it gets into position. A snake, before it strikes, it gets into position. I want to tell you that sin is already in position to take you down. That's the scary thing about like Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. You name all those guys. They're always ready to kill you. Always. It's the kids that are never ready. They're like, oh my gosh, and it's too late. They're dead. I want to tell you, sin is not messing around. It's ready. It's ready to pounce. It's ready to destroy you. And it says this. It personifies what sin is. It says it desires to have you. Sin desires to have you. To have your heart. To have your mind. To have everything that's yours. It wants it. It is waiting to strike. It's ready to strike. Rebellion wants you. And when the sin of rebellion has you, it never just stops with you. It may get your brother also. It got Cain. And through Cain, it got Abel. And we've seen that kind of rebellion alive in our cities, haven't we? A young person was killed just this last week in Plano, Texas. That's the sin of rebellion. Rebellion got in the heart of one young person. It not only took down that person, they're now sitting in a jail cell for who knows how long, but it took down the life of another person. And rebellion will keep spreading, and it will have person after person after person after person. That is the power of the sin of rebellion. Rebellion wants you. It desires you. And it desires your brother, desires your family, it desires your marriage. It desires every part of you, and it's ready to take all of it. When Cain rebelled against the authority of God, he rebelled against the authority of who?
God.
So Cain went out and killed his brother, who is the image of
God.
My goodness. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's got a plan to rebel against the very image of God.
Jesus.
That is the devil. The devil deals with rebellion. The devil wants you to join in his rebellion. You're going to join in his rebellion today.
No.
So his plan is to get you to go from disobedience, which we've all done, to go from disobedience to, somebody help me, rebellion. Here is how he gets you to go from disobedience to rebellion. Cain was disobedient, but when did he become rebellious? Now, this is open for debate. The Bible doesn't say clearly this is the moment, but I want you to consider this. Rebellion is a rejection of God's authority, and God's authority is found in his word. God's authority is supremely found in his word. So God spoke to Cain, but Cain rejected the word of God. The rejection of God's word is the very heart of rebellion. Cain had disobeyed in presenting the wrong sacrifice. Cain rebelled when he rejected the authority of God's voice. Can I tell you? Can I warn you today? I'm being real serious today. Be careful with the word of God. Be careful with the word of God. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, you know what a two-edged sword does? It cuts both ways. It can cut against your enemy, but if you are not careful, it will cut against you. This word can cut your enemy down to size, but the double-edged blade can cut you as well. Have you ever caught yourself praying for God to speak? Let's be honest. Anybody ever pray that? God, speak. Lord, speak. God, we want to hear you speak. God, please speak. Let me talk to you today. Please speak to my family. Please speak to the politicians and the world leaders. Please speak to the people that I am struggling with. Please speak to my lost loved ones. Have we all prayed something like that?
Yes.
Be careful. Be careful with that prayer. Because there is something worse than disobedience. When God speaks to the disobedient, they may reject his word and fall into something worse than disobedience. They could fall into utter rebellion. Sometimes it is more merciful for God not to speak. While you consider that, I want to preach to you. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says these words. He says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. Who is the judge at the last day? It is the very words that Jesus Christ has spoken that will be the judge. God judges on a curve. It's going to be news to you. Listen. God judges on a curve, and that curve is based on the exposure to the Word of God. Let's let Jesus do some talking here. Matthew chapter 12, 41 through 42. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Whoa. The men of Nineveh are going to stand up at the judgment and condemn this generation. Why would they condemn this generation? For they repented. The men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. Yes. Reading on. The queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Do you see that the exposure to something greater will actually bring more condemnation at the judgment? Am I the only one that sees it? Somebody raise your hand if you see it. Am I the only one that sees it? They repented at the preaching of Jonah. You have a much greater message in front of you. The message of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't take example of it, if you don't take credit, if you don't take account of it, an advantage of it, the very men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment seat and say, I wish I would have heard that message. I would have done a lot more than repent if I would have heard that message. My goodness, are we preaching the message of Jesus and still can't get repentance? Are you hearing the message of God forgiving you of your sins and setting you free, but you've not defeated the sin in your life yet? And the queen of Sheba, she was drawn to Solomon because his wisdom came from God. And Jesus says this. He says something greater than the wisdom of Solomon is in front of you. The very people listening to the word of Jesus have a greater condemnation than the queen of the south and the men of Nineveh. I take these verses literal. In Matthew chapter 11, 24, Jesus looks at an audience that is flat out rejecting his word and rejecting his authority. And he says these strong words. He says, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. How many understand that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to have a bad day on judgment day? They are not going to have a worse day, though, than the people who heard the words of Jesus but rejected his authority. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, if you have been given much, then much is going to be required of you. I want to tell you that hearing the word and rebelling against the authority of the word will bring more judgment upon you yourself. Sometimes God gives me a message, and sometimes he even reveals who this message is for. Not that I even like ask for it, but it's like sometimes while I am studying, while I'm writing it, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is for that person. Y'all never know that, because that's just the kind of guy I am. It's a really burdensome thing, not to be taken lightly. I've seen too many preachers get heavy-handed on that. We don't do that around here. But when I get up knowing I've heard from God, knowing who the sermon is for, and I have prepared, I've prayed, I know God's timing, and I come up here and I preach and I look over at the chair, and the person the sermon is for is not in the room, I've often wondered, what is up with that? I've often thought, maybe I miss God. Maybe God was telling me something else. Maybe I ate bad pizza. What is it? I'm telling you what it is, because I'm very certain of what it is. I know when I've heard from the Lord. God, in His mercy, will send a word, but also in His mercy will allow someone to never hear the word they will rebel against. Believe it with all my heart. That God, because He's merciful, will be able to say, I sent the word. I sent it. I sent you a messenger. I sent you the word. I did. But also, I guarded you from a word that you would have rebelled against, and you would have brought more judgment upon yourself. And so that's how merciful God is. Even when He's trying to save us, He saves us from hurting ourselves when we will actually reject and rebel against His word. Save us from heaping more judgment upon ourselves. I want to tell you, you're not just hearing another sermon. Ever. When you turn on the radio and someone on that radio is preaching the word of God, you're not just hearing a little thing there. You are hearing the eternal, never changing truth of God's word. Amen. Every time. When you open your Bible, you're not just getting you a little something for the day to get you a little encouragement. No, you are looking at the ever living word of God. We're not just in an interesting sermon series right now. This is the word of God. And every time you hear the authoritative word of the Lord, it offers an opportunity.
Jesus.
It offers an opportunity to receive or to rebel.
That's right.
Let me give you an option. Instead of, please speak to me, pray, Lord, help me to receive what you've already spoken to me.
Yeah.
Lord, help me to obey what you've already spoken to me. Jeremy, I feel pretty safe in this. I feel pretty safe in saying this. We all have something God has spoken to us we've not yet fully done. Yeah, anybody feel safe in saying that? Believe it. So instead of, God, give me something new. Oh, I want something new. No, man. Lord, help me to have received what you've already spoken to me to do. Help me to fulfill it. Help me to obey it. Why? Because it's your word, God. And your word is authority.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive me of rebelling against your word. Make that a part of your prayer this week. God, forgive me for having rebellion against your word. I may not even understand your command, but I surrender my life to your command. Lord, help me to understand it. Help me to understand it. I told you recently, I've got this discipline I've got in studying the word of God. I tell God, God, I know it's true. Now show me how it's true. It's in your word, so I know it's true, but I'm a little slow up here in understanding how it can be true and to what extent it is true and how that truth looks in my life. So now you show me, I already believe it's true. Now help me to live out that truth.
Yes. Jesus,
without understanding it, Lord, I want to live it. I want you to know, however, that rebellion is more than a decision. Rebellion is a spirit. Look at somebody and say, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. People get weird talking about spirits. Makes you always feel like it's like one of those 1950s sci-fi movies. Ooh, spirits. No, y'all, spirits are real. A lot of people like McFun, it's October, you know, ooh, ghosty ghosts. Spirits are real. One of the essential examples of rebellion in the Bible reveals that rebellion is a spirit. It's the life of the first king of Israel. Somebody help me say his name. His name is King Saul. He fell way past disobedience and completely rebelled against God and God's prophet, who was also a priest, who was also a judge, who was just an amazing person. His name was Samuel. We wish we had more time to like really dive in this because there's so much to it. So we'll jump to it. God commanded Saul, and then Saul rebelled against God's word. Did it multiple times. But here is what Samuel says to Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion," everyone said rebellion,
"rebellion
is like the sin of divination," say divination,
"divination,
and arrogance like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the
word.
Glory of the Lord."
No.
"Because you have rejected the praise of the Lord." "Because you have rejected baptism."
No.
"Repentance."
No.
What does it say? It says you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. Rebellion is like the sin of divination. It's also translated as witchcraft. Say witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
Divination, witchcraft is seeking spiritual evil and demonic forces to help you. Going to seek evil to help me. You can see how God would be angry with seeking the help of evil. Walking and talking with demons. I think I can understand why God's not happy with that. Right? Well, God says in his word, rebellion is like the sin of divination. Consider this for a moment. Think. In other words, rebellion against God is like taking the devil by the hand and walking in agreement with the devil against the Lord. Rebellion against the word of God is like saying yes, absolutely, amen to every demon in hell. Instead of saying, "Preach, preacher," as he preaches the word, you would be saying, "Preach, Satan. Preach, devil. Yes, I agree." Rebellion is wicked. Rebellion is a spirit. It's like the sin of divination. Divination is hanging out with a bunch of spirits. Talking to a bunch of spirits. Agreeing with a bunch of spirits. Rebellion is just like that. Somebody say rebellion is a spirit.
Rebellion is a spirit.
Witchcraft is a spiritual sin. Witchcraft is an irresistible, seductive desire for power. Guess what? Rebellion is the complete denial of God's power. To try to get your own power. When you refuse to obey God's command, it's not because you've reasoned in your mind, "Well, that seems reasonable. That's what I'll do." It is because you've been seduced by a spiritual serpent. It's what happened in the garden. It's what was happening with Cain. It's what was happening with King Saul. Be careful what you do with the word of God, because you either receive it or you rebel against it. There is nothing in between. You cannot sit under the word of God and go, "I'm just kind of indifferent about it." Nope, you've rejected it. You cannot sit under the word of God and say, "Man, that's really good. You know what? 10 years from now, I'm going to totally be all into that. I'm going to go do that. Nope. You've rejected it. It's all or nothing. It's either hot or cold. You cannot be lukewarm with the word of God. That's why every time when we preach the word of God, it's so important that you receive it. And not lukewarmly, not say, oh, it's not about an amen. It's about you doing something with the word of God. That's why we come to this altar. That's why we worship. That's why we pray. You either walk with God or you walk with a serpent. Either the Lord Jesus is your everlasting father or the devil is your father. What in God's word are you rebelling against? Today I want you to consider that. What in God's word are you rebelling against? We are guilty sometimes of going, oh, I love these scriptures. Oh, just give me some of those scriptures. That's good. Could I maybe mark out this one scripture I don't like here? Could we maybe just stay away from? There are entire churches, you listen to me, that never preach from certain books of the Bible. They just walk right over them. I've even seen some versions of the Bible that don't have a book of Acts in them. They've taken that book completely out of the Bible. Don't tell me I'm lying because I'm telling you the absolute truth. What in God's word are you rebelling? Denominations out there, you could be a church and rebelling against God's commands. Absolutely. I want to tell you that your rebellion is more than a mental decision. You are making a deal with the devil. Now, sure, Pastor. Sure, you know, I may not get everything right according to Scripture. I'll grant you that. I get that. But I do a lot of good things too, right? And I'll list those things to you, right? I go to church. Help me list some of those things. What do I sing? During worship, anybody help me? I pray sometimes. I go to Connect Group. You know, I often give money. I do. I give some. I volunteer. I do that. You know, the other day I held a door open for a person. Did that. I don't murder people. It's great. I'm so glad. That's a good one. Anybody else want to say that too? I don't murder people. All right. Let's go back to the Word of God. Let's look at this together. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. Can I tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. I am so glad that you are sacrificially coming to church, sacrificially worshiping, sacrificially giving, sacrificially not murdering people, sacrificially volunteering, all these wonderful things. But I want to tell you to stop trying to justify yourself with a list of the places that you've obeyed God's word and then dance past, walk past, tiptoe past all the places where you have ignored God's commands and are openly rebelling against the word of God. You see, that's what we do. Can we get honest? We get honest with that. Sure, I don't do this. Yes, that's a sin problem in my life. That's a problem in my life. I'm absolutely, but you know, because I'm doing all this, I'm okay. That is exactly what Saul tried to do. He was supposed to kill all the animals in a certain city. Instead, he took all those great animals and he took some of them and sacrificed them. And so when it was like, you disobeyed God, he's like, yeah, but, you know, sure. Yeah, but I took some of those animals and I gave some of them back to the Lord in sacrifice. Sure, I'm doing terrible things with my money, but I'm giving some of it back. Sure, I'm doing terrible things with my time, but I'm giving some of it back. Sure, vile, awful things come out of this mouth, but I also sing praise songs out of this mouth. Am I good? Am I okay? Oh, Samuel had enough. And he said, no, to obey is better than sacrifice. You don't get a pass in disobedience. You don't get a pass in rebelling against God's word. You must obey. Somebody say obey.
Obey.
Obey. Obey the word of God. I want to tell you, our disobedience is not okay. We have this feeling like, it's okay. You know, it's all right. Shh, shh, shh. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big. There was this kid in school once tried to, he showed me a bag of marijuana. I was a junior in high school and I was affronted that he showed me a bag. I was angry that he showed me. I was like, what are you doing even bringing that in class? And how dare you even think that I want... And that guy looked scared. His name was Rodney. He's like, oh, Chris, it's okay, man. It's okay. It's cool, man. It's cool. It's not a big deal, man. It's okay. It's all right. It's cool, man. It's all right, man. We're that way with our sin. No, it's cool. It's all right. Pornography's not that big of a deal. It's all right. Pornography's not that big. Lying and cheating's not okay. Sure, I only steal certain things. It's okay. No, it's all right. It's okay. You know what? I did say those things about those people, but they did those bad things about me. And it's okay. Sure, sure. You know what? Sure. I use the name of the Lord in vain, but it's all right. God, me and God are homies. It's okay. It's all right. We throw these things out and say, just calm it down. No, it's time to freak out. No, it's not time to calm down. No, it's time to reject the rebellion. Oh, our disobedience is not okay. Our rebellion is not okay. Stop being seduced by a serpent and receive the word of God. That's what should have happened in Eve. She should have slapped that serpent silly.
Yes.
And declared that God's word is true. That's what she should have done. The word of God will not allow you to stay comfortable in your sin. Now, you can find a church somewhere, not far from here, not far from any location, really. You will always be able to find a church, it seems, where it's led by a preacher who always has an easygoing message that makes everyone feel comfortable. You can find a preacher that will tickle your ears just right. And just like Paul told us in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I know that this is not uncomfortable, and I'm telling you right now, you could find a much more comfortable sermon anywhere on the internet, anywhere in this city. But I'm telling you, you cannot be comfortable with your sin. I will not allow it. We can't do it. It's not okay. It's rebellion against the word of God. And if that just makes you go find another church, bless you in Jesus' name. But we are going to preach the truth. We're not going to stand by and be comfortable in our sin. Acts chapter 5:29, the apostles said this. They said, we must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than human beings. Can I get real with you? There are all kinds of church growth seminars everywhere. It seems like everyone and their dog has a church growth seminar. And their number one thing is, you don't want to make people uncomfortable. You know, you got to just make everything nice, have a nice music environment, and you know, just move along with the service and then go straight into the preaching. You know, keep it short and sweet, and then just touch, you know, three things that they can use that week in their life, and then leave them out blessed, and they'll feel all good and comfortable. The whole church world in the idea of growth is about being comfortable. I'm telling you that the church of Jesus Christ should not be comfortable. And we ought to be able to look people in the eye and say, it's a sin. Walk away from it. Repent of your sins. Reject the rebellion of this world.
That's good.
We must obey God rather than human beings. So are we rebelling against God's word? Where are we rebelling against God's word? Are we walking hand in hand with the spiritual sin of rebellion? I want to tell you, you must deal with the devil. I have good news for you. You can deal with rebellion. You can break the deal of the devil. Jesus died on the cross for rebels, like you and for me. There was a man who was a rebel who was destined to hang on that cross in the middle. His name was Barabbas. And Jesus took the place of a rebel like you and me and hung in their place. Romans 5:7 says that Christ died for his enemies. I want to tell you that Cain died in his rebellion, but he didn't have to. King Saul died in his rebellion, but he did not have to. Let me give you a great example. The example of David. Did David disobey God? Yes. Only once, right? Multiple times, right? More times than what's written in the Bible? Yes. Probably, yeah. Probably. Yes, on multiple occasions, he disobeyed God's commands. And yet, David is called multiple times in your Bible the man after God's own heart. Did he disobey? Yes. Was he still after God's own heart? How is that possible? Why is that possible? You would think that a person after God's own heart would never be disobedient. How is it that he is a man after God's own heart, even though he disobeyed God? Psalm 119, 9 through 6. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, yes, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are much more than gold. They are sweeter than honey, and honey from the honeycomb. He was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because he loved the perfect word of God. Because he delighted in the word of God. Because he knew that the word of God, although he was a king on a throne, he realized that the word of God was the word of the true king. That the word of God was the true authority. For that reason, a man who disobeyed God, who fell short, who was a sinner, he did not reject God. He was a man after God's own heart. You want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? Love his word. Receive his word. Obey his word. Love his word. Receive his word. Obey his word. Let's do it. I want to tell you today, you can't just amen this sermon. You need to receive it. You need to celebrate it. You need to obey it. You need to put it into action. No more lip service. Do it. I want to give you one more last piece of hope, and I believe this is wonderful hope. Jesus will forgive and restore the disobedient and the rebel. Both of them. We took some time to show you how bad, how much worse rebellion is than disobedience. I want to tell you that the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ will forgive all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive our sins. Somebody say sins.
Sins.
The word here is hamartia, which means to miss the mark, to be less than obedient. There's obedient. I just missed it. It was disobedient. If you will confess your sin, will Jesus forgive your hamartia? Yes, He will forgive your disobedience. But then it says, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say unrighteousness. The word for unrighteousness is adikia, which is more like rebellion. Hamartia is a lot more like disobedience. Adikia is more like rebellion. It means to be unjust. This is justice, but we rejected it. We were unjust. To reject and rebel against the just law of God. If you will confess your sin, Jesus will forgive and cleanse you from all adikia, from all unrighteousness, from all of your rebellion. I want you to think back, because this is how God works. Adam and Eve mess up in the garden. God shows up and He starts talking. And He starts asking them questions. And they start answering those questions. They start confessing their sin. Cain messes up with the sacrifice. God shows up. He starts asking him a question. Hey, won't it be okay if you... He asks some questions, right? And instead of confessing to God's questions, He just doesn't say anything. I want to tell you today that the Lord is speaking. He has spoken. If you didn't get a single thing out of what I have said, well, at least we looked at the Word of God together, and the Word of God has spoken to you.
Yes.
Now will you confess? Are you going to be more like Adam and Eve, who answered the call of God? Or will you be more like Cain, who heard the word of God and just shut down on it and turned to rebellion? Today, come and confess. He's spoken to you. Come and confess right now in this altar.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.